All right.
Well, it's good to be here. Like you said already this morning, it's good to be when we live in America, we have the freedom to come in and thank God for what he's done for us and have a church to be able to come in and be together and sing. And I do enjoy coming here. We got some friends here with you guys, and I really appreciate it because we do travel around a lot. And we just got back from Maine. I was just telling you that we just got back from Maine yesterday. We did a tent revival up there and such. And, you know, what a blessing to travel around and be able to make friends. And no matter what states you start going in, you have like-minded people. You know, and it's a very comfortable place. We haven't run into too many hard people yet. And I thank God for that. But I know they're out there. And I know we'll run into them eventually. But the people that we have made friends with have been friends. And we do things, you know, stay in contact and see each other quite a bit. And I love it because it's not like anything I've ever had in my life. People never wanted me around, okay? And but, you know, having people want me around is it's a whole new life, and it's a whole new adjustment. And so we're thankful. We're thankful for you guys. Thankful that hopefully Pastor Carlson and we're having a good time. And my mom ended up in the emergency room. Was it yesterday? Oh, she's in the hospital.
2 days.
I'm not sure. She says she has pneumonia, so I understand that her friend, she's been up sick all night, so there's a lot of stuff going around, and it's just a mess right now, and, you know, with the heat, doesn't make anything better. So anyway, I'm going to get into something a little different here. It's a Sunday school lesson, and I brought one of my many folders here, and what I went and done is, it says on here, Tabernacle and Levitical Notes. And so I started, and what I believe is a lot of what's going on in American churches today is that people have stopped studying their Bible. What are they relying on? Number one, they're relying on nothing I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you they're not good. They're perfectly fine in their place. But now people are relying on books, CDs, and preachers, and everything else to do the studying for them. They have their place. I am not against any of those. Please don't take me wrong by saying it. But what I'm saying is our Bible should have the preeminence in any studying we do. And the reason why I say that, there's two reasons. I've read many books, and I've come to find out by having my Bible next to me, a lot of people who do read books don't check it in their Bible. And I've come to see that many good fundamental Bible-believing churches, people who write the books, are not using King James doctrine. They're using NIV doctrines, and they say that this is a King James doctrine and such. And so I believe it's very important, especially as men, that we have a knowledge of what God is saying in the Bible so that when we do read a book or when we listen to something, we can say, hey, that's, you know, something's not really right about that. The second reason why I believe it's so important is 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show ourselves approved unto God. Today, everybody wants to show their knowledge unto each other. It's become a battleground, back and forth. And it drives me nuts to see that because really we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, not man. And it can get in a big, huge battle. I mean, you've been around long enough to know that knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge makes people think that there's something they're really not. And so we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and God knew that. God knew that by man and his knowledge, that would make his pride even bigger than it already is. So he says, show thyself approved unto God, a workman. You see, today's day and age, you don't like that word work. Studying your Bible is a work. It can be an absolute work. God puts a question in our heart, and it's not there by accident. God puts a question in our heart, and now guess what? He expects us to go and find that answer. But where does everybody run? To the Christian bookstore and so on and so forth. They're expecting everybody else to find the answer for them. Here it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. Show God that you're serious about what his Bible has to say, and be a workman. Be a workman in it. Yes, we understand that we can go out as a man. We can work as a man. We can go out there and work with our hands and support our family, and God loves that. But the same thing when it comes to our Bible, especially the men. We're supposed to be spiritual leaders in our home. We need to be a workman in this Bible so that we can be that. Okay? We can't always rely on what somebody else thinks the Bible may mean in that area. We need to find out for ourselves what God thinks in that area, okay? And again, books, so on and so forth, your pastor, whatever else, evangelists that come in, that's all wonderful to have. God has put them in our lives, but they should never supersede our Bible. Never, okay? And so and then it goes on and it says, needeth not to be ashamed. You know, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, I got a question for you. How about, you know, what does this mean, such and such and such? And now you don't have the answer. You feel ashamed. You go, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I don't know that answer. Well, you know, if we study to show ourselves approved unto God and work in the Bible like he says, we don't have to be ashamed. But when we don't have the answer, and then we're not always going to. We can go in there. We can study this Bible from front to back, and there's going to be times we just don't have the answer. But you know what? The next time somebody challenges you in that, you're going to go home and study, and guess what? You'll have the answer the next time. Okay, those are all plans of God to get us. And it says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes we get in our own heads that we might study something out or whatever, and then we're going to go and take it, and we're going to put our own truth in with it. And that really distorts the word of God. And I'm going to give you some examples of King James Bible believers who teach NIV doctrines and have no clue about it. Okay? They have no clue about it. And so what I did is, studying your Bible. People say, well, the Old Testament means nothing to us today. It does. Okay? And I'll use this example. When you first meet, let's say your wife, when you first met her, you want to know everything about her. What she liked, the smell, her favorite colors, her favorite food. I mean, you wanted to know every single inkling thing that you could. You would have done anything to get that information. Well, to know Jesus Christ in that deep relationship, you know, he's also found in the Old Testament. And to completely understand Jesus Christ, to completely understand Paul's teachings and so on, where he's coming from with these things, we need to be in the Old Testament to find those out. We need to understand that. Am I bound by the law? No, I'm saved. I've been made free through the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm not bound by that. But just like I wanted to have that relationship with somebody and I did everything in my power to get to know them, I should do the same for Jesus Christ. And I'm a firm believer that if a man, woman, or child wants a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, they need to study their Old Testament and find out why these things are being said in the New Testament. Why was that taught in the Old Testament? I'm just saying, it's an interesting study. And so what I went ahead and did, I did a lot. I did a word study on the word spirit. Every time it's capitalized, every time it's, you know, a small, lowercase. And I did it. I mean, it took me weeks and weeks and weeks to do that study. And I categorized every single one of them in every area. But you know what that did? It gave me an understanding. It gave me a knowledge of what spirit was working where. Is this a small S personal spirit? Is it a capital S Holy Spirit? Is it the Holy Ghost who's got his own seven spirits? Because there's seven spirits of God. Each one of the Godhead have their own seven spirits. And so it just opened up so much more of my learning. As what else I did is I went through the book of Leviticus. And I went through every single sacrifice. I have every single sacrifice written in here. I have every single sacrifice where I can know it. If somebody asks me about it, or if I see Paul talking a certain thing, I'll go, well, why is he saying the bond of love, or the bond of this, or you know, the cords of this, or the cords of that? I can now understand that he's a Pharisee of Pharisee, as concerning the law, he said he was perfect. So now where did Paul get that from? We know he's going back to the law. We know he's going back to Leviticus. Now I can understand, oh, that's why he said that. And it opens up my understanding. And so what I've done is I did that with the tabernacle. And so with the tabernacle, I drew every piece of it. I got every piece hand-drawn in here. I went through all the measurements. Now, you know, a cubit would change for each person in here. It's about the same, 18 inches from elbow to tip of your finger. But, you know, if somebody's got a long arm, it would change, you know, here and there. But I did all that. I drew it all out by hand. But where I started was in the book of Exodus 25. I started with an inventory list. In Exodus 25, God gives you an inventory list of everything that is going to have to be built. You go, gosh, they were in the desert. Where could they have gotten all that stuff? Well, if you remember, before they left Egypt, God said, go to your neighbor, and I want you to borrow all this stuff from them. Why was that happening? Did they know they were going to be in the desert for 40 years? No, but God did. Okay? But if I didn't study the inventory list, I would have never known that. Okay? And so I went in there, and I started with the inventory list, and I just started putting things down that God wanted, God desired. And then I went under, and as I was studying this more and more out, I would come to, well, let me not get ahead of myself. And so what I would do is, for many people, they were willing to do these things. They were willing to give these things up. And so as men or, you know, woman or a child, we have to be willing to study these things out. Okay, God wants us to study these things out. So Exodus 25, God gives us a great inventory list. Okay, and then Exodus 25, verses 1 and 2, and it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering." Okay, Psalm 115, verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." And why I say those verses is because here is where the Baptists start changing things. Okay? They claim to be King James Bible believers, but yet they're going to start changing things in that inventory list, and it's going to be NIV, ESV doctrine. Okay? Now, I know me. I'm a King James Bible believer. I believe God has given us the perfect word of God. I don't believe that I need anything else but what I have sitting in front of me. I do not get into the perverted versions. I don't study them. I could care less about them. But I know this. If I'm going to be a King James Bible believer, and I'm going to say that I am, then I can't be preaching NIV doctrines. Okay? Because it's a lie. It's a lie. And you're out there and you're being deceptive, and it's hurting people. So that's why it's important that we know our Bibles. Okay? It's important that we leave things exactly the way God wanted them. And so that's why I said that many Christians want to change things in the Bible. And I'm going to give you an example. Go with me to Exodus chapter 27. I'm going to give you an example here. And there's many, 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 many. But these things would have not been known if I didn't get in there and study this out. Now, I also want to say this. No man helped me with this. This is something I've done totally on my own. Okay? Nope, I've done it with me and my Bible. Actually, I've done it with me and the Spirit of God in my Bible. Okay? Because somebody who sits down with their Bible and lets the Spirit of God teach them, they're just as smart as anybody who went through any kind of college. Okay? You're just as smart as anybody else with that King James Bible in your hand and that Spirit of God. There's nobody who can beat you with that. Okay? Luke says that. Luke 4, I think 21. Jesus Christ says, "Don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words to speak that you'll be able to confuse your adversaries." How about that? Okay? I'll give it to you. And thank God for somebody like me who has burnt myself out so much at my past sinful life that God is able to give me that kind of brain where I can learn these things and hold them in there and give them to me. But I have to write them down. That's just how it is. So Exodus chapter 27, verse 1, it says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. So we see here God asked for shittim wood. Now, 99.9% of any Baptists who have done any kind of studying in here, they're going to change that to Achaia. That God asked for Achaia wood. And that is impossible. God would never ask for Achaia. And there's for many reasons. And what I'll explain is this. Many commentaries change that to Achaia tree. Okay? They change what God has asked. I just read to you in Psalm 115, verse 3, "But our God is in heaven. He hath done whatsoever he pleased." Remember, God says, with this sacrifice, you bring them to me with a willing heart. Why? Because these are what God has instructed. These are what God is asking for. So if we, as King James Bible believers, see that God is asking for a certain thing, should we change it? No. Leave it exactly for what it is. And so we go on here, we see this is not what God asked for. They are two different types of wood, okay? Shittim wood has the same weight and texture of water, okay? Now, meaning it's very strong and it will not burn. Moses, he's standing in front of the burning bush, okay? Why didn't it burn? It was a shittim tree, okay? A shittim tree will not catch on fire because it has the same consistency and water, same consistency and weight as water. It just will not burn. Today, Israel, the Jewish people, make a lot of things out of that wood still. Because of the strength, because of how strong it is, because it won't burn like a normal wood would. Okay? So it is a wonder, when you're reading here, what is he building here in Exodus 27? Isn't he building the altar of sacrifice? And he's going to use wood. If you use Achaia is the same thing you would get from Walmart furniture, that particle board. That's what Achaia is. That's not going to hold up the heat. That's not going to hold up for what God needs it for. Number two, at this very moment, Did the children of Israel know they were going to be in the wilderness for 40 years? No, they did not. So if they would have built it out of cheap, flimsy stuff, would it have lasted 40 years of being set up and torn down, set up and torn down? No, it would not have made it. So God asks for shittim wood for a reason. Number one, it can handle the heat. Number two, it can handle being tore apart, set up, okay? It can handle that 40 years of having that happen. And so that's why it's important when we have to leave these things in context and not change them. They don't need to be changed. God knew what he was doing when he put that in there. For centuries, starting back in Genesis 3, chapter 1, the devil's come in. And what's the very first thing he does? He's being subtle. He's changing little things at a time. And what's he get? He gets Eve to doubt God's word. In Genesis 3, chapter 1, you see him go up to Eve and say, "Hath God said, yea, hath God said?" Right there instantly, he's got her doubting God's word. Then he changes what God says. He's been doing that since the beginning. And guess what? People are doing that still today. They are changing little things. You know what little things do? Little things eventually change the truth and doctrine. It corrupts it. It makes it what it should not be. And that's the devil's craftiness. That's how crafty he is. And he does that. And guess what? He's even got Baptists doing it. He's got Baptists preaching his Bible, and they don't even realize it. Most don't understand that they're even doing it. Okay? And so it's very important that we understand what we're teaching, what we're reading, what are we putting out there? Is it what the devil wants? Remember, in Isaiah chapter 14, the devil said, "I will be like the Most High God." He didn't say he was going to be the opposite. Paul warns in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 3 and 4, he says, "If another come preach another Jesus, or another spirit, or another gospel." That Paul was warning about the devil who wants to be called Jesus, who's putting his own gospel out there, which are the perverted versions, with another spirit, and that's the mixing and intermingling King James doctrine with NIV doctrine. And Paul warned about that was going to come, and it's taking place today. It's going on right now in our very churches, even in those who claim to be King James Bible believers. It's going on. And why? Because the devil is subtle. He's sneaky. He's crafty. He does little things like that, and bang, it blows it up. So a person, a preacher, is actually standing up there, and he's saying, "Yes, we love the King James Bible. It's the Word of God." And then he'll go out there, and he'll preach NIV doctrine and not even realize it. He's preaching the devil's doctrine. And that's why I stress, it's so important that we understand and know and leave the Bible exactly. Hey, let me say this. You guys know my testimony. I'm a convict. I'm a drug addict, alcoholic. I'm an ex-gang member. I burned my brain out. Could you imagine if God said that, "Dale, in order for you to understand me, you have to know Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic"? I'd still be lost and dying and going to hell with that foolishness. God gave me a simple Bible to leave it exactly how it is, and I can trust it, believe it, and leave it just as it is and never have an issue. How about that? I don't have to have anything else. And anything that God wants the interpretation for, he puts it in there. Anything. He explains exactly what it is. Therefore, he can take a simpleton as myself. Remember, he says he takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm foolish. To confound the wise, because I realize, thank the Lord Jesus Christ, that I don't need any of that other stuff to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I could just take my Bible and stand on it and live exactly what it says, and it changes my life. Continues to change my life. Why? Because I leave everything exactly where it needs to be. I don't change a word. I don't change an apostrophe. I don't change an exclamation point. I don't change nothing, and I leave it exactly the way it is. Just like God instructed. And so it goes on here, and it says, "Achaia is the same texture of particle board, the same exact stuff you get from Walmart. It's not going to hold up." For 40 years, this thing had to hold up. For 40 years, they were going to do how many sacrifices a day? I mean, you look at how many sacrifices they had to do. And then when they were done with their sacrifices, God would move them. So that thing had to last. So if we were to change it to Achaia, I mean, it's a particle board. It wouldn't have lasted very long at all. Man has gotten themselves to the point where we think we know more than God. We think we know better than God. Okay, that's all it's come down to. Why? Because that's what knowledge does. It puffs us up. It makes us think we're something or not. It even makes us think that we're higher than God. That is the craftiness of the devil to make us think that. You know why? Jeremiah 17:9 says this, that our heart is desperately wicked. It's wicked above all things. And so if the devil and our heart ever met in an alleyway, the devil would bow down to our heart, because it says our heart is more wicked than all things. Every single thing, anything that ever was created, our heart is more wicked than any of them, even him. So you know what? And you read your Bible, he never attacks a person's heart. Where does he always attack? Paul always tells you to guard your mind. Why? Because as soon as the devil gets in your thoughts, he knows your heart will follow. Your heart is more wicked than him. So he's got to get into our thoughts. Well, how does he get into our thoughts? Here, let's change this word here. Let's make this person think that this is this. And boom, there it is. There it is out there. This is what's going on. And so we have to leave exactly. So God, since the beginning of time, has been trying to move man out of the way so that they can see him for everything. For every single thing, we need to keep our eyes on God and off of us. That's what God's been trying to do since the beginning of time, is move man out of the way so we can focus on him and what he's done, what he's written, how he's done it exactly the way he wants it done. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, saith the Lord. But here we are as a human being trying to make God have the same thoughts that we think. Could you imagine serving a God? Could you imagine serving a God with your thoughts? What a horrible, horrible God that would be. I couldn't imagine having to serve somebody like me who thought like I did. And you know what? God wants to move us out of the way, and that's a good thing. So for 40 years, this thing wouldn't have lasted. But because man thinks they know better than God by using a lighter wood and a lighter material, it would be better and easier to use. Man is wrong because he could never take the fire being the altar. Okay? That wood would never have held up. Now, we're going to get into another thing here. Another example Jesus God asked for. Here, if you go ahead and you finish reading it, go down a few more, verse 3. And that says, "And thou shalt make the pans to receive the ashes, and the shovels, and the basins, and its flesh hooks, and its fire pans, and all the vessels thereof. Thou shalt make them of..." And I'll ask this question every single time, and they'll all come out and say bronze. Bronze is not in your Bible. I promise you, matter of fact, I'll lay a wager out. If I'm wrong, I'll take you out to dinner. But I know 100% that bronze is not in your Bible. Matter of fact, bronze did not come in existence. They did not find bronze for a couple hundred years after this whole thing happened. Okay? Well, people go, well, brass can't take heat. Now remember, we are building an altar. This brass is going to go over the shittim wood. Today, if you were to make an altar with brass, it could not withstand the fire or the heat. Do you know why? Because you would know this. Today's day and age, they mix other material in with that brass so they can make more money with less brass. Here, it would perfectly handle it. It was pure brass. It could handle anything. But everybody wants to change it to bronze because they think that bronze would have been better to hold the heat in the fire. When they don't even know that bronze didn't come around until a couple hundred years after this. Okay? Brass was pure, and brass over that shittim wood would make a perfect altar if man would just leave it exactly the way it is. If man would just read their Bible and leave it for exactly the way it is, they would understand, my goodness, God did know what he was doing. Yes, he did. Okay? If he wanted that to mean bronze, it would mean bronze. It's not. Bronze is not even in your Bible, not one time. Zero times is it in your Bible. Because God wanted it made with brass because there was a purpose for it. He had a purpose for all of it. Okay? And so, God asked for these things. He did not ask man what he thinks. This, you know, if you read, you go ahead and read this, a whole account from Exodus 25 all the way to Exodus 40, and you'll never once see where God asked man for anything. Not once. God doesn't ask man for anything with salvation. God doesn't ask man for anything that he does, because he wants the whole entire thing to be taken off of man and put on him. Now, he may use man, right? He uses man for his purpose. Remember, we're called according to whose purpose? His purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Anybody know what that purpose is? In Romans 8:29, it tells us there's a semicolon after Romans 8:28. Then there's a semicolon. That means it changes. It keeps going on. So we know that those who are called, those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, that's a great verse to help encourage somebody. That's where everybody usually stops. But what's God's purpose in that verse then? He's going to tell us in 29. When a person gets saved, God knows he has already predestined that person when they get saved, not by election. He's not talking about election here. He's talking about knowing that when somebody gets saved, they're going to become like Jesus Christ. That's his purpose. That's what happens to those who love him. That verse 29 explains exactly what's going on in verse 28. You love God. You know that you're called according to his purpose. You're called according to his will. You'll be conformed into the image of his son. That's what you're going to look like. That's what we're supposed to look like as Christians. We're supposed to look less and less like us and more like Jesus. We're supposed to look less and less like ourselves and more like Jesus. That's his purpose. That's what he called us from. He called us from ourselves to get rid of those things into what his purpose, into his will, into what he wants for our life. Romans 12:1-2. You all know a living sacrifice. God, here's my body. Here's my life. Do what you will with it. When we give him that power, we start looking like Jesus Christ. People will actually be able to pick you out. People will say, hey, there's something different about that person. That's what got me saved, is seeing for the first time. Now, you guys know my ministry. Been in and out of a lot of jails and prisons for many years. And I've been around a lot of preachers and pastors. I've seen a lot of those type of people, reverends or whatever they want to call themselves. And I've seen a lot of those being in and out of jails and prisons and rehabs. But you know what I've never seen in any of them? Jesus. I've seen humans. I've seen somebody who had a religion to offer me. I've seen somebody who had thoughts to give me. And it wasn't until 6.5 years ago. Now I know more now. But 11 years ago, this person walked up to me. His name is John Ashworth. He's my pastor today. And he walked up to me. And you know what he didn't do to me? He didn't try to force his doctrine on me. He didn't try to force anything on me. He didn't try to force a religion on me. He didn't try to make me do anything. All he did was get up there and preach a King James Bible. And watching his life, listening to the way he talked, and how he handled things, I didn't see John Ashworth. I saw Jesus Christ. Now, at that time, I did not know what that meant. I would sit there and tell my wife, I want what he has. That's all I knew. At that time, I said, I want what he has. Whatever that man has, that's what I want. Well, almost 7 years ago, I got it. I got Jesus Christ. And that's how it should be for us. How many of us, and let's just be real with amongst ourselves, how many of us have people beating down our door to get what we have? Okay? Are they seeing us or are they seeing Jesus Christ? Okay? And it's so important. They're going to see Jesus when we can understand and leave everything in context and leave it exactly where it needs to be. They'll see less and less of us and more of him. Okay? But this is what man has done with the Bible. This is what they've done with salvation. Though the whole Bible, what time do you stop at? 10:30, yes, okay. Through the whole Bible, God has been trying to remove man out of his ways and his plans, but man keeps trying to force him back in. Many are here today. I would say, I would never correct God's word. They would say that. They would sit there and they would say, there's no way I would ever, no, I have a fear of God. There's no way I would add anything to God's word. There's no way I would take away from it. And yet we do it on a daily basis. I was guilty of it. Believe me, I was guilty. And how did I figure that out? By studying God's word and understanding, oh my goodness. Wow. Just by studying the tabernacle, by studying the things going in it, God showed me that, Dale, you are changing things around that I'd never asked you to. I'm like, whoa. That was big to me. That hurt. Because I really believe, I would get in arguments with people. I'm a King James Bible believer. No, I wouldn't change anything in there. And I was. Because I was relying on what man was teaching me. I wasn't taking the studying seriously like God said in 2 Timothy 2:15 and going in there studying those things out myself. And I tell you, it's really changed my thinking. Now, if you say, well, do you listen to any man that teaches? I absolutely do, 100%. You got a pastor? I got a pastor. You don't think I listen to my pastor's teaching? Absolutely. But I better know, one thing. I better be knowing that's his, what he's preaching, his doctrine. I better know what he's preaching is truth. I can't know that if I'm not studying. I can't know it if I'm not studying. You know what? Study to show ourselves approved. Search the scriptures. I mean, this is what God commands us to do. If you love me, keep my commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Well, we can't hide it in our heart if we're not doing it. So we're going to go on. It says here, they read a King James Bible but have NIV doctrine. So many people say, yeah, I'm a King James Bible believer. I try to live it and I love it. And they live NIV lives. Their life was reflecting the total opposite. You know, God showed me this one time. He says, belief demands an action. What you believe will show in your life. And so, you hear many people say, yes, I do believe a King James Bible. Yeah, I love the King James Bible. And then you look at their life and you go, wow, if that's how God wants you to live as a King James Bible believer, I sure don't want it. Okay? They hold the King James Bible and live an NIV life. Okay? Just, it's how it goes. And you're shocked and you wonder why aren't we having victory in America? We're preaching the Word of God. I mean, we're sitting up there and here we're giving it, we're teaching it to people. Because when we leave these doors, we become somebody else. We got to live guilty. My kids will tell you, I'm guilty. I'm learning. I'm working on that. I'm working on being the same person. I'm working on being consistent. I'm working on getting the hypocritical things out of my life. I'm not saying I don't have that. I'm telling you right now, in front of man, in front of everybody, that I have that and I'm working on it. I'm not perfect. But man, at least I'm striving to do it. People aren't doing that no more, brother. And they're wondering why I don't have nobody knocking down my door to get what I have. Shame to me. Shame to me. And let's go on. And it says here, the King James Bible calls, we're going to be talking about Exodus 26:33. Go there. Exodus 26:33. I want to show you a big one that everybody uses. And so Exodus 26, verse 33, and it says, and thou shalt hang up the veil under the thatches, that thou mayest bring in thither within the veil the ark of the testimony, and the veil shall divide between the holy place and most holy place. Here's what everybody calls that, the holiest of holies. You show me where you find that in your King James Bible, please. It is not called the holiest of holies. Do you know where that's found? The NIV, the ESV, the New Standard Version. That's where that phrase came from. Then why are we teaching in our churches? When it says the most holy place and the holy place, that's what he's talking about. But we'll sit there and say we're King James Bible believers and we'll change that. We will absolutely use that doctrine and it's corrupt. It's perverted. You go read Baptist books and you'll see the same thing in it and you go, my goodness, where'd they get that from? It is not in the Bible. It's in the other perverted versions. Those aren't what we live by. Remember, we stand on the standards of the King James Bible. That's what we're supposed to be living and breathing. But yet, we have the intermingled spirit, that other spirit that Paul warns us about in 2 Corinthians 11. Let me just say this. By doing this study of the tabernacle, Leviticus, and the Old Testament, it's really exposed a lot about what I was believing. It's really changed a lot about me standing on that King James Bible and really trying to live it and go, oh my goodness, I haven't been though. One corrupt thing that we try to intermingle with what God wants ruins it all. It just does. And that's why it's important. Now, I'm not saying you don't study. I'm not saying you do study. That's between you and God. But I'm just here because, listen, this is what God told me to bring here this morning. Now, when's the last time I even opened this? It's been years, okay? But I knew for a fact, same with my next message. I thought that next message I have, and it's a brand new one. I've never preached it anywhere enough. I said, well, that must be for Maine. God would not allow me to preach it in Maine. He told me to bring it here. Okay? So I'm just obedient to God. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just trying to share some stuff that God has shared with me. I'm not saying how your studies go or don't go. So please don't say that I'm sitting in here and trying to do that to you. I would not do that. But you know what? God showed me something about myself, and I thought, you know what? Why not share it with you guys? Right? It's to help each other, edify, build up, and say, man, maybe I'm taking a wrong turn. Maybe I'm not doing. But anyway, Exodus 26:33, here God calls it the holy place and the most holy. Everybody else calls it the holiest of holies. It's not in your Bible. It does not mean the same. It's a place the devil used to go. It's a place out of the Babylonian religions, that the holiest of holies, where they would go and do all their praying and all that stuff. We don't have that. We don't do that. The veil, the holy place, the most holy place. They have removed God and the Word out of their lives and put what makes sense to them. Okay? A lot of people, even changing, remember, all the devil did was go in there and start changing one word at a time. And by changing those one words at a time, it changed the whole doctrine and the truth of every single thing that should be. Matter of fact, it gave them how many hundreds of Bibles out there now? By changing, you know, they didn't come out, the devil didn't make them come out and change whole doctrines at a time. He just started it word by word. The King James Bible believers are doing the same thing. They're changing it word by word. He's creeping into the Baptist churches. He's getting into the doctrines that way. He's doing it 100%. And you know what it's doing? It's called, God is not the author of confusion. Look at the confusion amongst the Baptist brethren. Because of what? Because of man's knowledge, because the devil's subtle. He's putting those things in there. He's being the accuser of their brethren, and they're going, yes, this is King James doctrine. No, it's not. It's not. To study the Bible, we must do as God does. And we must remove ourselves out of the way and study with God. We need to let Him sit down. Lord, I'm going to get down out here, Lord. Please show me. You tell me you want me to have your word. You tell me you want you to hit it in my heart. You tell me you want me to take and live this. Then I need you to teach it to me. I need you to do that for me. And He'll do it. Listen, I'm not the smartest thing to fall off a tree. And if God can teach me with it, why can't He teach anybody? God has transformed my thoughts with this Bible. He's transformed the way I think. He's transformed the way I speak. I mean, I can sit down and have an adult conversation with somebody. If you would have met me 7 years ago, you would have thought I was nuts. You would have still thought I was a gangster out there on the streets. I didn't have the mentality. I didn't have the thoughts that I had. And just by taking His word and putting it into my life, it's changed all that. I just got finished doing my doctorate. I got a doctorate in counseling, and I got straight A's. Where does that come from? I promise you, it's not from me. I promise you, with everything that I am standing here today, that only happened because of Jesus Christ and what He's done in my life, and because I'm crazy enough to believe His word exactly for what it says. I'm that crazy. I am that crazy just to believe this Bible for exactly what it says and leave it just like it is and not take it anywhere else. Has it not transformed our life? It's transformed our life. She got saved 6 months after I did. And you know what? She believes the same way. Not because of her husband, but I'm the spiritual leader. I'm responsible for her under Jesus Christ, who directs my house. And now I'm responsible for my wife and my children. We got to answer for that. You know that. When our wife and our children are studying or reading that, we got to be responsible for that. Well, if we're teaching them something God doesn't want us to teach, we're going to have to answer for that one day. Oh, man. God help us to get it right. And so please, no judgment. I promise you, I'm not judging. I came here with zero judgment attitude. I don't do that with you guys. I have a lot of respect for you guys. I do. I have a lot of respect. And I respect, you know, Pastor Carlson. I love you guys. I do enjoy coming here. So I come here with zero judgment. I'm not casting judgment on anybody. Isaiah 55. I need to read that. Isaiah chapter 55. Get there myself. Takes a sec. And we're going to start in verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11. It says, quoted some of it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which whoever we want please. Shall man please? For what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. We've lost that about God. We've lost about what he sent forth, his word forth to do. And we've went out there and we replaced it with everything man has to say and do. Fine and dandy. You study with whatever you want to study with. I'm not saying don't study. But what I'm saying is this. Study it with your Bible open. Don't just trust a book. Don't do it because it will get you saying and doing things that are not in your Bible. It really will. It's important. My pastor writes books, okay? He's got some excellent books on soul winning and stuff like that. But don't you dare sit there and not have your Bible open when you're reading a book. Because I have read it. I have read books from King James Bible believing Baptist churches, and they have NIV doctrine all through, and it shocks me. It just absolutely blows my mind. Because man's knowledge puffs them up and thinks they know better than God. I'm just humble enough. Not humble as in I'm humble, I'm so humble that people don't get me aggravated. No, I'm humble enough under God's hand to believe his word. I am. I don't want to change anything. I want to take it for exactly what it means, exactly what it says. I don't want to change. I don't want to add. I don't want to take away nothing. Zero. Because a man said it. If a man tried to come up and convince me, and I'm reading my Bible, and I know for sure it says this, and somebody comes up to me and tries to tell me, no, it really means this, I'm done with that. I'm not even listening to it. I've already shut it off. Click, it's over. Okay? God can teach me that. If I don't understand what he's trying to teach me, then I'll go search it out myself. You know why? Because God put that question into me. God brought that person in my life for the purpose of bringing up that subject for me to go search it out. You ever have that? You ever sit down and you have a question come in your heart? That's God doing that. He wants you to go search that out. He wants you to study it. Most people blow it off. I've learned most of my Bible by sitting down and a question pops up. I go, that's what I got to study then. And I'll go study it out. And what a blessing to go and study that question out. I have somebody come up and challenge me. I get a lot of challenges being in jails and prisons, you know. They got a lot of jailhouse religion. They have a lot of knowledge. They think they know better than everybody else. And I get a lot of challenges. You know what I do? I accept that challenge and I go home and study it. Now guess what? That next person that comes with that ain't going to beat me. They're not going to get me with that nonsense. Okay? I believe those, God sends those to us men and some women to help teach his Bible, to help get us prepared for whatever ministry God, we're all called to, in some type of ministry, whether it be with family, whether it be somebody that we bump into at work, somebody we bump into at the store. We all have that opportunity. We all have that witness opportunity. And if we can't come up with an answer for them, that's our bad. God has given, he's furnished us with it's called the sword of the Lord. This is the sword. This is our weapon. This is what we're supposed to use. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted after he fasted for 40 days, what did he use to defeat the devil? The word. Should not we? That's a perfect example. What we should use. But if we're not using the right stuff, if we're not using the right one, it's going to confuse. It's going to bring confusion. I already told you guys about the material. That's in Exodus 2, verses 20 through 22, where God says, go to your neighbor and borrow from them. And you go, why would God do that? Well, now you understand. We understand now why. Because a few 23 chapters later, he's going to build a tabernacle. Okay? 20 some odd verses later, he's going to build that tabernacle. So with this inventory list, what we do know, you take each item and you run it through your Bible to see what each one means. Okay? You go, well, how do you find out a definition of your Bible? Well, two things. Dictionaries, modern dictionaries, that stuff is pretty much garbage. If I find a word that I don't understand the definition, I will take a concordance and I will run that through every single place that's in my Bible. At the end of that time, and sometimes it's a lot, but a workman. I told you it's going to be work. I told this to the guys and the ladies in jail. I said, studying is work. And they all look, well, depends on how much you want for your Bible. You want to know it? I'm just going to give you some. So you take that word, you don't understand the word, and you run it through that whole entire Bible every single time. I guarantee you, 99.9% of the time, by the time you're done running that through, you'll understand that word perfectly, just like your Bible wanted you to. But at the end of that, if you still cannot understand it, then the Webster's 1828 or the Oxford, I can't remember the other one, are two. But here's what I do. I'll take either one of those dictionaries. Just by the way, I don't ever read commentaries. I don't ever read lexicons. I don't have a single one of them. I would never do it in a million years. Because all I'm going to get is man's thought on it. Okay? I don't do that. But if I can't figure out a definition, I'll take one of those two dictionaries. And I'll take that word for what it says. And then I'll take verses. And if it doesn't, if that definition doesn't match up with verses in my Bible, I won't believe it. But one of those two usually will. Okay? And that's how I check it, because I need that word. If I can, I need that word to line up with my Bible. Otherwise, I'm preaching other doctrine. So if I can't come up with within its own context, within itself, if I cannot come up with that definition, and I have to go use the Oxford or the Webster's 1828, and if they don't, if I take one of those and it does not match up with it, then I just can't use it. Then I got to wait for God to show me. There's been times that God hasn't shown me things that I'm still waiting on the answer for. But I'd rather do that than to take what some man is trying to tell me and corrupt something, okay? And so, well, we're going to close with that. And so I hope I was a help and not a discouragement. Honestly, I was not here to pass judgment. I just wanted to share some things that God has shown me and how to, you know, maybe get you into studying your Bible a little differently. And maybe God help us all that we can get out there and start winning souls. I thank you guys for listening.